What's up, guys? It's Mikey with Man Me Barbecue. It's Thursday, thus we have another fucking podcast. Hell yeah! Almost the weekend for you, the weirdos that only grill on the weekend. But besides that, let's get the business out of the way. We are always brought to you by ManBQ. It is one of our favorite sponsors, some of our favorite dudes in the world. We enjoy going to ManBQ meetups and doing all that fun stuff. If you're in the Chicagoland area or plan on being in the Chicagoland area anytime soon, make sure you look up ManBQ.com. You don't know what you're missing until you look this shit up. Other things on the agenda. iDevices. iDevices brings you some of the most badass Bluetooth thermometers. Makes your life easy. I always tell you, cook to temperature. Don't ever fucking cook to time. So iDevices makes that easy. It gives you an ambient, or you can get an ambient probe, an in-meat thermometer. Make your life easy. Hook everything up to your smartphone. Fuck, if you don't have a smartphone, buy one. And then buy an iGrill too. Use coupon code MANMEAT15 to save some money. And yeah, you won't be sorry. So without further ado, let's get into this podcast.
Grill back. She's back. The lady behind the curtain. So we chatted with you a while ago. What's been new? How's it going? How's life?
Things have been going really awesome. The blog and the site and social media and everything, it's just about a year old now, and I got to tell you, I am falling more and more in love with this grilling community every day that goes by. The folks on Instagram, it's like they're all family. You know, I've never met any of them, just like I've never met you, but it's just still like, I don't know, there's just something about barbecuers that I'm so glad that I've worked my way into this world and really been able to connect with all these cool people.
Right, it's so weird. You say barbecue, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, this is what I do.
Right.
And it's like the walls come down right away. And everyone has, some people have horrible inputs, but you know.
Yeah, and I never knew starting this out how I would be received from the male-dominated society of grilling and barbecue, and I've come to find out they don't really care what my gender is. If I can smoke a good piece of meat, then, you know, I'm kind of in the club. And I'm also finding there's so many other really cool chicks out there that like to grill and like to barbecue and like to, you know, eat barbecue or just try it out and test it out. So, yeah, it like I said, it really is like a family out there, and it's been really, really fun.
Sweet. That's always what we love to hear, that other people are loving you. Sometimes we get some weird hate on our name, you know.
Sure.
Whatever. But I'm sure guys follow you.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. I get emails every now and then from guys saying, "Hey, I'm learning stuff from you," and so, you know, that's really cool. It's you know, equal opportunity. I'm trying to get more women to grill, of course. I mean, that's kind of the whole concept of starting this, and I continue to learn myself. But dudes are always welcome, absolutely.
So if you had to say, like, if you could, we want to get more women to grilling, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's get more chicks out there. Let's do it. What would you say is what do you feel is the hardest part for, what do you think kind of pushes women away from grilling? I'm not saying that to be like, you know, whatever, but what would you say is like kind of for most girls, what would you say is like their hardest part of kind of bridging that gap and saying, you know what, I'm going to do this?
I think it's the preconceived notion of what they think men might think about it. Like they think that they're going to go into their man's domain. And I think that they might be timid to kind of push their way in there thinking that he might object to it. And I think it's just the contrary. I mean, I'm loving on Instagram. There's like all these dads out there that have these little girls and they're teaching their little girls to grill. They men are not afraid to hand over the tongs. I mean, you know, they'll share a good beer with you and have a good time with you around the smoker, around the barbecue. So I think that's it. I think women are just, they think, oh man, that's what he's supposed to do.
Did we lose her for a second? Give me a second. So as you were going.
Yeah. So mainly it's just, I think it's that women have that preconceived notion that maybe their man doesn't want to share the space. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think if they just said, "Hey, I want to give this a try," and kind of work their way in, and, you know, obviously don't try to take over something that is a passion that somebody in your family really likes to do, but just try to get in there and do it with them and just ask the question, "Hey, do you mind teaching me how to do that? Or do you mind giving me a shot?" And I think that the women will be pleasantly surprised at how open men are to just saying, "Hey, yeah, come join us at the grill." Like I said, it's family. It's not a divisive type of thing. It's an all inclusive thing that we just have a fun time doing. So,
oh yeah. More
girls just give it a shot.
Absolutely. Now, would you say barbecue as a whole is even pushing more towards a female cooker?
You know, I think so. I think with, you know, the different color grills, they make them in purple and blue and orange and green. And, you know, I think that attracts women just because, well, everybody now loves colors with our iPhones, with whatever we have. We love all these fancy colors. But I think, I mean, you know, they're even making pink grills. And I think all the different utensils and different things out there like that, like, not to stereotype, but, you know, women are used to getting different gadgets for their kitchens, and now seeing that there's all these cool gadgets out there for grills, I think that that can be attractive to a female market as well. So, I think the barbecue industry is open to it because they realize from a business perspective and a marketing perspective, that's a lot more money. That's 50% more of our population.
We're missing some of the humans. We must capitalize.
Exactly. So yeah, the brands that I've worked with have been awesome. You know, they realize that there is another whole niche out there that they can reach. They definitely don't want to steer away the men though. They love, you know, being able to, you know, promote Father's Day specials and things like that. And that's, I'm totally cool with that. But
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So over the past year of the website kind of be maturing and coming to where it is now, which if you don't follow them on Instagram, you need to. She posts some killer stuff. I mean, there's some killer pieces of meat that, I wish I had.
that cowboy ribeye I did the other day was pretty tasty, I gotta say. I found a butcher in Las Vegas and walked in and just like drooled all over the counter. And I was like, I need about 34 ounces of that right there.
I've looked at it about 700 times.
Right. Yeah,
That was a beautiful cut of meat, and you cooked it spectacular. It looked beautiful. Now, with a big cut of meat like that, now what? We'll kind of dive into this before we go into anywhere else. What was your method of cooking?
It was like a $50 piece of meat. Debated back and forth.
We're slightly losing you.
Hello.
Okay, we're still there. Here we go.
Sometimes
life goes in and out.
So with a big piece of meat like that, you know, you want to make sure you get it right because it was like $50+. And so I debated back and forth of whether or not to do a reverse sear and cook it slow and low and then sear it off, or whether to cook it fast and then do the indirect heat. And I went with the second option. I went ahead and charred it real nice with a nice, you know, direct heat for, I can't even remember, maybe it was like 7 minutes per side or something. And then I just moved it over to indirect heat until it got to that nice medium rare temperature and let it rest after that. And it was perfect. Smothered it with some thyme garlic butter too, just for added fat.
Now, what made you go against the reverse sear, or what made you choose your method?
You know, I was hoping I was going to get some sexy grill marks on it. And I thought, why don't I just do that first? And then I can finish it off, as opposed to, I wasn't sure, because I haven't done reverse sear with a big piece like that. I wasn't sure if I would be able to still accomplish the grill marks I wanted. And so next time I'm definitely going to try that, but that's the first time that I've cooked a piece of meat that big and that expensive in a long time. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go with what I know, make it a really good Instagram post, and then I'll play around. Since I just found this butcher, I'm definitely going back and I'll be getting some more.
Yeah, absolutely. A good butcher helps you out phenomenally. And
yeah,
I just figured I'd ask, you know, what made you do what you did? Sometimes that's the key behind most people, that they're like, they'll hear something, they'll be like, oh, I want to try that.
Yeah.
But then they don't know how to go about it.
You know, I'm still learning too. I mean, I will wholeheartedly admit that I learn something new on the grill every single day. I mean, I probably couldn't even tell you what reverse sear was 2 years ago. So it's, you know, it's just, I'm learning to cook with different woods. I'm learning to cook with, I think I'm up to 12 grills now. So I'm trying them all out all the time. And, you know, I learn something new every day, and I fail sometimes too. I have to tell you that. My husband laughs because sometimes there'll be an Instagram post and the meat looks really, really good, and it's not as good as it looks. And he's like, if they only knew.
If they could only taste through Instagram, right. This was not good.
Right.
You know what? That's the funny thing is sometimes that just happens where it's like, this looks phenomenal in a photo, but you don't want to eat the thing. You know what I mean? You don't want to eat it. And it's like, why not? It just didn't taste good.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, it served its purpose for feeding us for dinner, but it didn't taste as good as it looked in some cases, not, you know, not all the time at all, but, so it's fun. Yeah. Still learning. And One thing I don't do a lot of yet is marinating. I just really like the dry rub, and that's what I go with mainly. And I don't use a lot of sauces either. You know, I've had some companies offer to send me sauces, and it's just not my thing. It's just not my taste. I like a dry rub, and I just want to taste the pure meat. It's really my preference.
You know what? I'm not a huge fan of marinating in the sense that I use a lot of dry rubs. I just do a lot of simple. You know what I mean? It's very simple to me. I normally don't overthink it either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's pretty easy.
Yeah. And I tell you, our plates too, like, you know, I watch cooking shows and they're pulling off these whole meals and I'm just like, yeah, that's pretty good. A full meal for me is a 3-4 ounce ribeye that I split with my husband. I don't have to have like all these sides to go with it. And the whole, you know, every night at dinner, I'm not making a pot of baked beans and mac and cheese and all that. I'm really happy with a big piece of meat and maybe a side salad or something. So,
you know, that's the hard part in the sense that like, I'm cooking for two, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you want to feed the beast of Instagram, and I say that in the nicest way possible, people, please don't think that I have, you know, that I'm cooking, you know, huge cuts of meat every single day. It's just not possible.
Right.
Especially with, with my job and travel, it just doesn't happen. So obviously you kind of like backstock that, you kind of, you know, do all that kind of stuff, but the one thing I will say is it's hard to sometimes have, you know, a bunch of sides because it's like, oh, I want two or three sides, but it's like, I'm not going to eat all that.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, for me, it's just the two of us as well. So on weekends, I will grill like crazy and then I'll save those photos and try to spread them throughout the week. But I'm cooking so much food, like you said, just to keep people interested in the food that I can make and in different recipes that, yeah, if I did three sides a night with all that meat, I'd weigh 100 more pounds, I think.
Right? It's almost damn near impossible to be able to eat all of it.
Yeah, and there's no sense to waste the food, of course, you know. So that's why, like I said, I'm just happy with a big steak. Or I don't cook a lot of chicken. Steak and pork are my main things, and then like a side salad or something.
So I did see you are a big fan of Code 3 spices, and so am I.
I am. I love them.
Their garlic rub.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I have all of their rubs.
Can we say any more about that garlic rub? Ooh.
Yeah. That when I do make poultry, that is on it every single time. And, you know, I found Code 3 Spices through Instagram. I think Grillin' Fools, I think Scott was using them. And I was like,
absolutely,
I got to try these guys out. And first of all, I love their cause, you know, that they give money to first responders and military. And my husband being retired military, you know, I respect that and appreciate that they do that. But then when I got them, they, you know, I think they were one of the first true barbecue rubs, not the stuff you buy at the grocery store, but the true barbecue rubs that I tried. And I was like, man, I don't really need to make my own barbecue rubs anymore because this stuff is really, really good. So I'm excited. I'm going to Missouri later this summer, and I'm actually going to swing in and meet them because they just opened up a new store. And so I'm going to get a chance to meet them for the first time. So that's going to be really fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. They're I was searching for a garlic rub.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I was searching for one. I got a couple garlic rubs sent to me, and I was like, hey, you wrote garlic rub on the front of it. And they were like, yeah, isn't it good? I'm like, there's no f-ing garlic in it.
Right. Yeah, no, theirs is good. And I like that they have a couple rubs that don't have sugar, too. So if you're doing the paleo thing, you know, you can still use their rubs and not worry about that. But then there are other rubs, like their Backdraft and their 5-0. Those have some sugar in them. But, man, they're good on bacon and pork and all sorts of stuff. I mix and match them on my poultry. I usually do the, I can't remember. I do the grunt rub, the garlic one. And then, I can't remember. It's one of the red ones. I think it might be their Backdraft, but,
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Every time I do poultry, just about it, I mix those. Cause it's just the perfect combo.
I mean, I still can't get off that garlic rub. Like it's one of my favorites. Yeah. It just comes out so nice on chicken. I do it on chicken wings. I've, you know, everything. It's a phenomenal rub. They're all purpose too. It's a great all purpose rub. It's not overpowering. It's not too mild. I know a lot of all purpose rubs I find are sometimes a little too mild, mm-hmm. where it's like they try to play to so many different things that it's like, this just doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah. I just got some of their phosphates recently. I haven't used those yet, and they recommended that I try that out for my brisket and inject with those. So, once I get a chance to have a long weekend that I can spend some time with it, I'm going to give those a shot. They said it's magic. It'll be magic to my meat, so we'll see.
See, I don't inject too much anymore. I don't cook very many briskets in the sense that that's another hard part, you know, with there mm-hmm. being two people.
Right.
A brisket weighs 14 pounds. Yeah. I mean, you're going to lose a little bit of it in shrinkage, but I'm not going to lose 12 of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes I'll cut a brisket and I'll do like the flat and the point, but I'm always disappointed in the flat. I'm just like, why do I even buy the whole thing?
It's because, the flat will dry out if it doesn't have that point feeding anything into it. And that's the hard part. Yeah. It will dry out. It just, it's part of the, it has less fat on it. It's not going to, it's not going to, you know, come out very nicely. But once again, like we said, you know, feeding that Instagram beast sometimes is,
you gotta do brisket like every 3 months.
Hey, remember I can still do brisket. Remember?
Yeah. And then just take it to work and people are like, all right, brisket. Yeah.
Exactly. What I've been doing lately is I'm switching over to beef ribs. I found a butcher that can get me really good beef ribs, really nice beef ribs. And I'm like, it's brisket on a stick.
Yeah. I've seen some sexy beef rib posts lately where it's just, you know, people push down on them and you just see those juices running with a nice smoke ring. And I mean, who doesn't love meat on a stick that you can just grab and gnaw at? So,
right.
Yeah. I need to do that more. I do a lot of short ribs, like the Korean style. I do that like all the time. That's like beef bacon to me or beef candy to me.
Korean style beef short ribs. I was actually having a conversation with somebody the other day about it. They're so good.
Yeah.
And they're so quick. I mean, you got to marinate them for a little bit, but otherwise you can do them so quickly.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of campfire cooking lately and I've been doing more of those posts. And that's one of the things I've been doing now is putting Korean short ribs on a stick and they're ready in 5 minutes. I mean, it's like as fast as a toasted marshmallow, but it's beef candy. So
that's way better than a toasted marshmallow.
Yes, absolutely. So those are definitely, anytime I go camping, I take bacon, eggs and Korean short ribs. That's like my three staples.
The one thing people don't think of.
Right.
Short ribs.
Right, I know. They're so yummy.
So now, you say you're doing a lot of campfire cooking. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's pretty similar to cooking on any other cooker. You're still cooking with wildfire, real fire, and all that kind of fun stuff. Are you doing a little bit more cast iron cooking in that realm?
I am, yeah. So there's three ways I basically like to cook on a campfire. I have a grill grate that goes over the flames, and then you just control. I usually use, you know, hardwoods or lump charcoal because you don't want to use softwoods like pine or anything. Just like if you're using it in a Big Green Egg or something, your food will taste like a Christmas tree ornament, and you don't want that.
And
so,
poison comes out of those.
Right, exactly. You don't want to kill your campfire guests. I just light my fire. Usually I bring my lump with me, and then sometimes I bring some hickory wood or something, and then you just let your coals burn down and separate them out and do your direct and indirect heat just like I would at home on a regular grill. But I always bring a grate and I have a few different size cast irons that I like to bring so I can do my eggs and bacon and that kind of stuff. And then always bring my skewers of meat on a stick and then foil. You can tuck anything into a thing of foil and make dips and desserts and all that fun stuff.
You know what's even funny too? You can do the same thing with a potato.
Yeah.
If no one knows that, you can pretty much put anything you want inside of a potato, and it kind of acts like foil.
It's like a potato oven.
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of weird.
I like to just throw my potatoes on the coals, and then when they're soft, then I just scoop out the flesh and make mashed potatoes.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
People are like, where'd your potatoes go? I'm just like, I just threw them right in the firebox.
Yeah, why not?
They're like, aren't you scared they're going to burn? No.
Nope.
Why not? Because they're a starch. They're pretty much, you could pretty much cook a potato for like 3 hours and it's not going to work.
But undercooked potato, on the other hand, not so good.
Right? It's like an apple, just not good.
Yeah. I like apples, all right.
It's like a really bad apple. Oh,
yeah,
that's
but I've been having fun with camping, and I've been working with Keita over at Girl Carnivore, and
yeah.
I've been working with and
she's
Susan
awesome.
from Hey Girl Hey, and we're trying to plan a camping trip this summer where the three chicks are just going to go out and go camping and do lots of campfire cooking. And
sounds like a lot of estrogen.
Yeah, but it's the three of us, so it's a little bit, you know, it's not your normal three girls.
No. It's the insane ones, and I'm just...
I know, right? We invited Jess Pryles, too. We'll see if she joins us.
Woo! That would be that'd be a trip.
I know. That would be...
Be a fly on that tents wall. Find out what you guys are doing.
I just told her, I was like, I'm just going to sit there and just listen to you talk, because I love your accent.
Oh, she's so awesome.
Yeah.
We chatted...
Yeah.
We had such a great chat, and she... Jess is such, I mean, all those girls are awesome. I really do love all of them. And it's just so funny how, there are so many great girls doing so many great things. I mean, Diva Q just put out her book.
I know.
Her new cookbook.
That's so cool. Yeah.
There's a lot, it's kind of weird. There's a lot of great women doing killer barbecue things. And you know what I think it might be? Is there was always women in it, and people just, there wasn't that, the word I'm looking for, the exposure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where it wasn't like, there wasn't that exposure of, oh, yeah, look, she's
right.
Grilling.
You know, I really think Instagram has taken barbecue a long way, because I've been on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff for years, and I don't know, there's something about Instagram that just really feeds to that barbecue world, because every backyard person who has a grill is posting something on Instagram, and it's so funny to see who, like, these random people just, like, tag me and tag Grillin' Fools and tag you and tag, you know, Brisket Mafia or whoever. They're just tagging all these people, and we just, like, form this community. We're like, man, that guy, you know, he's just cooking on his little Weber back there, but man, he knows how, he's making some nice stuff. And so we just connect, and there's women in the mix, and I'm meeting all sorts of new women who are tagging me, and it's just, it's really cool. Like I said at the beginning, it's a total family. Instagram is the right platform.
Absolutely. Instagram is definitely one of the right platforms. People love to see food pictures, and that's the way to go. Now that the smoke has a little bit cleared and some people are chatting, what do you think of the new Weber grill?
I haven't used it yet. I don't have any Webers in my portfolio.
At all?
At all. And I have 12 grills. So, hey, Weber, if you're listening and you want me to try something... I'd love to. Yeah, I've got like four or five charbroils and a couple Big Green eggs and a few different campfire type things and a stoke. I don't have a Weber. My father-in-law has a Weber, and I think he's had it since 1998, and he loves it and swears by it. I don't have that yet. I would like to try the new charbroil, the one that's like half gas, half charcoal. You can like convert it. But I don't know. I still love the egg. That's my go-to. I've been using the Mini Max a lot more. I got the large egg, but I have been using the Mini Max more, and then the gas grill for quick stuff. And I have that charbroil, the oilless deep fryer. That makes the best chicken wings I have ever had. It's a basket that you drop into this like propane confection thing, and you just leave them in there for 45 minutes with the garlic rub all over it, and they just come out crispy and moist. And I don't grill wings anymore. I just throw them in that thing. And so that's kind of what I'm working on right now.
Well, that's perfect. I've never quite understood an oilless fryer, but I kind of do get it. I guess the heat just kind of...
It like radiates, I guess. And, you know, maybe it's really like an oven and not really grilling, but it's outside with the propane tank. That's right. And I've been doing a lot more things on the grill, experimenting with baking and things, because I had a blog before Girls Can Grill that was zestuous.com, and most of it was baking and just your traditional, what every other, sorry for the stereotype, but what every other female blogger is blogging about. Didn't really have a niche, and then I just kept doing more grill stuff, so that's how I transitioned. But I did do a lot of baking, and I actually like to bake. So I've actually been grilling a lot more baked things. Like I grilled cinnamon rolls in my cast iron pan. I just made a chocolate babka this weekend and threw that on the grill. Because a grill, a gas grill especially, is just like an oven. You just set your indirect heat and turn it to 350 or 400 and you get the same concept as an oven. And
I mean, so was that egg.
If you yeah.
That egg nice at a nice temperature, if you're able to control that thing yeah. will work just like an oven for you.
Absolutely. And chicken enchiladas or pork enchiladas on the egg with a little bit of smokiness, way better than what you're going to get out of an oven.
And, I mean, I've said it in past podcasts. You said you did cinnamon rolls. You know, we put up our cinnamon roll thing, and then a couple people were like, what's the recipe for that?
Yeah, me too. I was like, first of all, just get any cinnamon roll recipe or just go get a can.
take cinnamon roll.
Right.
Put in big green egg.
Yep.
Wait 15 minutes.
Because I don't think the ones I made were from scratch, but I don't think that most people really want to wait 24 hours for their sweet yeast dough to rise and then to make their own crumble. I'm like, you don't have to do all that. Just go buy the frozen ones, go buy the canned ones, whatever. Just use the grill.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we wrapped –
cinnamon rolls, unrolled them, put bacon inside of them, then re-rolled them. And they were like, well, how do you make that? I just gave you the recipe.
Yeah.
I rolled bacon and cinnamon rolls. Well, did you par cook the bacon? Yeah, obviously. Like, think about it. It's not going to get your bacon crispy.
Right.
Otherwise, your cinnamon rolls are going to be black.
Right. Hockey puck.
Yeah. It'll be a hockey puck with some bacon on it.
Yeah. Definitely there's new people who need step-by-step, and I appreciate that because I was that person before too. So my other blog, I would do like step-by-step photos, just like Krillin Fools does. On my new website, I don't do that as much, but I am here for anybody. If they want to reach out to me through email, if they want to reach out to me on Facebook, on Instagram, whatever, I'm happy to answer any question anybody has to just help them get better at their barbecue game for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And so am I. I just think it's so funny when I get some of the weirdest questions. Guys, I don't do very many recipes, so, I mean, most of my stuff is pretty basic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, what's your recipe for ribs? Rub, 225, till done.
Yeah, that is what I actually do really love about grilling, because I can answer in an Instagram comment post how I did a rib or a brisket or a pork butt or something like that. Whereas my old recipes, it was, yeah, like I said, making yeast dough from scratch. And that would have been like way too long of an Instagram comment for anybody. They'd be like reading two sentences and be like, yeah, I'm not going to make that.
Yeah, I'm done. That's just.
Yeah. That's what the donut shop's for down the street.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing that I've been kind of getting more towards my life that I want to get more towards is lamb.
Yeah, me too.
I've been really digging lamb lately. Is that crazy?
I think it might be because you follow a lot of the same people I follow on Instagram, and there's so many Aussies out there grilling now, and they're constantly posting their lamb posts, and that looks so good.
You know what? You're completely right. It's all the people from Australia.
Yeah.
All you people down there.
Down under. It's no longer shrimp on the Barbie. It's lamb on the Barbie.
Exactly. All my boys down there. Suck knuckle, I'm calling you boys out. You guys are always posting lamb.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I've been getting like more and more lamb. I've been doing lamb chops, doing, you know, little things. And it's like the flavor that I'm getting out of lamb is just like, oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, I need to do more. I haven't done it in a while. I mean, looking at those like little lamb lollipops with, you know, mint butter all over them. I need to hit the grocery and maybe I'll do that this weekend. That's a good idea.
I believe Tim Shelburne posted the other day. I believe he posted lamb ribs.
I saw those. I didn't realize lamb ribs were so big.
I didn't either.
Honestly, I was like, really? Those are lamb? But they looked, yeah, they intrigued me. Like, he did a few different posts throughout the day, throughout his cook, and I was impressed by that.
I am all about it.
Yeah.
They look phenomenal.
And I got to try that lamb shoulder that Jess was talking about on your show. I haven't found that in the store, but
I haven't either.
She described it. That sounds awesome.
That's my other thing. I got to find this stuff.
Right.
It's not the easiest thing in the world to find for me. For any of you people that are listening, maybe in the Chicagoland area, if you know a good lamb dealer, hook it up.
Lamb dealer. Like you're going to meet him on the corner.
Yeah. What you got? I got a rack of lamb.
Right. Yeah, we have some good butchers here. A lot of them, though, have, like, goat. Like, goat's really popular in Vegas because we have a lot of Filipino community and Hawaiian community. Okay. And I'm not a huge fan of goat. I'll eat it, and I've tasted it. But, yeah, just that – you know, I honestly, though, I haven't grilled it. I've had it the way they cook it in Filipino dishes. I haven't grilled it. So that, I might have to experiment with that. But I don't know if my readers, my viewers might be like, no.
Yeah. It's like, do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? Like, what's my,
Yeah. I'm trying to introduce new people to grilling. The first thing they're going to try is probably not goat. Not rattlesnake.
What's your first thing? I want to do goat.
Yeah, right.
It's my goal in life.
No. I would love to get my hands on some alligator, though. I do love alligator.
Now, you said rattlesnake, and that just intrigued the hell out of me. Okay, so I've talked about it in past podcasts, people. If you listen to our podcast, you know I've been interested in doing rattlesnake. The only problem is rattlesnake is about $56 a pound here.
Wow. I've never tried it. I don't even know where to find it other than in my backyard, probably in the desert. But
okay, so you get it.
And I've heard it's bony. I've heard that about snake, but if I could get my hands on one, I'd love to try it. I'll try anything.
I'm trying to figure out how to cook it.
Yeah.
$56 a pound.
Right. Yeah, because that's worse than the cowboy steak I was talking about. You really don't want to mess that one up.
Yeah, but see, you've cooked beef before.
That's true. I bet it's like fish, maybe.
That's what I was thinking. But
the USDA doesn't give you, like, what the temperature is supposed to be for rattlesnake.
I believe it's like fish, but at the same time, I've heard it's really bony and it tastes like chicken.
So how about we just cook fish and chicken and call it a day?
And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, do I debone it? Do I have to do something to it? Am I going to kill myself if I try eating it with bone? What's my goal?
Yeah.
How do I cook this?
Okay, now you got me into something I got to investigate. That's, you know, because last time we talked, you were talking to me about your smoky mac and cheese, and that's like a regular now. Now that you told me about it, and I saw your picture, and you gave
it brief instructions. Isn't it fantastic?
Yeah, that's like every other weekend I'm making that, and I'm actually about to teach a mac and cheese class at a campfire, and I'm going to teach them how to make mac and cheese on the campfire. You know, it's so easy to make, and but rattlesnake. See, you've taught me mac and cheese. Now you've got me moving to rattlesnake.
Now I got you moving to rattlesnake.
Quite a jump.
I was watching some stuff. I was watching a barbecue show, and the guy they did rattlesnake, but they didn't do it in like a unique way. They just kind of used it as their protein inside of something. So I just wonder if that's like kind of the way to go, or can you serve it as the main protein on the dish? And I'm sure some people will say, yes, you can. It's just how much of it do you need? How much shrinkage do we get? I mean, if I buy 2 pounds of rattlesnake, am I, you know, left with, you know, a pound and a half?
Right. And do you eat the skin? Like, I could see just sticking it on a stick and putting it over the campfire and getting crispy skin like you would get nice crispy skin with the fish, but I don't know. I've never had snake skin. I've worn snake skin, but I've never tasted it.
Exactly. So that's like, I just don't know. And I've been so, like, not pushed off and not so, like, scared of it, but...
Like, well, at $56 a pound, right.
At $56 a pound, I'm a little bit nervous to say,
yeah,
let's do it, and if it doesn't come out, oh well.
Right.
You know, there's like, if you buy a pork shoulder and you mess it up,
yeah,
realistically, okay, you're not $60 out.
So tax refund, buy your rattlesnake. But that refund money you weren't expecting, be like, okay, I know what I'm going to invest in.
I'm gonna buy a rattlesnake.
We'll see how well that goes over.
Right?
Okay, but that's my springtime resolution. I've got that to you. I'm going to find rattlesnake and try it. And the picture may look better than it tastes.
It looked beautiful. How'd it taste? Right. It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Can you just answer that?
I'll just coil it up on the big green egg and
exactly. And then that's my other question: like, what temp do I cook
right.
at?
Right. Is it a slow and low, or is it a fast and?
Because I'm guessing there's not a lot of fat in it. There's not right. enough fat to keep it low and slow.
Yeah.
It's probably more of a medium hot and fast type thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to burn it.
I think I've seen people glaze it too, like sauce it up because it's probably so dry. I think I'd want to, I almost though want to do it like crab legs, like dunk it in garlic butter. Like you can't go wrong with garlic butter other than the bones. I got to still figure out how to get through all the bones.
You got to debone it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the only, I think that's the only way to go.
That's a project. That's all my things to do.
I'm gonna put
you inspire me, Mikey.
Awesome. I hope that I inspire anyone else that's out in the world. So now out of all your cookers and all that kind of stuff, do you play favorites?
I do, but it's I have a favorite by day. So on weekends, my egg is my favorite because that takes a little bit more time as far as just that's where I can do my slow and low. And yeah, that's my weekend favorite. My weeknight favorite is just a gas grill. And I have a stove right now. I use my portable charbroil little mini grill to go, I think it's called, just because it does awesome sear marks. But for just because I work full time, grilling's, you know,
absolutely.
A thing on the side, like most of us. So yeah, it's gas on weeknights, slow and low on weekends. And then on nice days, I'm definitely out there on my new campfire grill. I can't remember what it's called. It's like a cowboy something I got on Amazon. And it's like a transformer. It's like a big pit that's raised up and it has a grill thing on top. And then it's got like a thing where you can hang a Dutch oven from it and all these cool things. And I've been lighting, you know, campfires and just sitting out there at night. Cause right now it's spring in Vegas. So it's 70s and 80s and pretty soon we're going to be hundreds. And so my grilling season for the comfortable weather is almost over where everybody else is just now starting up.
So I know we talked about this last time, obviously with you being out in the desert,
mm-hmm.
have we learned any new methods on how to keep that grill not 400 degrees
well,
without a fire inside of it?
Yeah, I keep it on a covered patio. My friend had it out in the yard, and yeah, she was like, it's already above 250, and I'm trying to do a brisket. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, mine are all on a covered patio. They like take up the whole patio, all my grills, and it works great. But what's interesting is that for me, grilling season really is all year.
Here we go. Keep going.
Sorry, my computer started to go to sleep.
It's all good.
So there are diehard grillers that I totally respect who are grilling in the winter, and I gotta hand it to them. For me, winter is like 50 degrees, so it's awesome.
Yeah.
But what's really fascinating is, you know, I'm posting and grilling all year, and now grilling season is really just about to hit for everybody else in America. So it's going to be fun this year. I think I'm going to get a lot more new audience to Girls Can Grill who didn't maybe know about me last year because I started right about this time, and I think it's going to be fun. I think there's going to be a lot more women out there that are gonna, and men, absolutely men, who are gonna say, hey, let's see what this chick's doing.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I feel like you will, there's gonna be that content that people are starving for now. They're gonna wanna go show off in front of their friends. They're gonna wanna, have parties and be like, hey, look what I can do. I can cook, you know, I can do a pork shoulder and not put it in a damn crock pot.
Right. I hate the crock pot. I like slow and low, but not in a crock pot.
Right? I can do this and not in a crock pot.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm sure you're on Facebook. You see this stuff. A lot of those websites that are putting out the, oh, do this chicken in a crock pot. And it's like, yeah. I could have done that on my egg and it would taste a lot better because there'd actually be smoky flavor into it.
Right. I mean, it's a huge market. I mean, there's millions of women who, and men, you know, I don't mean to keep segregating, but there's like huge blogger communities about all of that. And so be it, you know, that's good for them. They work, they run around, they got their kids, they got whatever else going on, but you know, you can't leave your egg and go to work. I get that. That's not necessarily a safe thing to do, but I mean, you could, but I don't recommend it, you know, but it's, yeah, if they're at home and their option is plugging in a crock pot or putting in the big green egg and they're going to be around, dude, pick the egg.
Right.
Your family will be like, wow, when'd you learn to cook?
Pick any other device, any other smoker. I don't care.
What yeah.
Cook with some real, you know, fire. Cook with some smoke. It gives that flavor. It changes so much of that food. Like you were talking of, we were talking about the mac and cheese like last time.
Yeah.
And it's like that it's that extra flavor where it's like you've had baked mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same texture, same idea, but then you up that smoke flavor into it and you're like, oh my God, there's smoke flavor into this. This is awesome.
Yeah. Like the noodles are just perfect for penetrating that extra flavor. And it's just, every bite is just, wow. So
it's every bite has that smoke in it and it's just fantastic. So mm-hmm. you were saying like with baking and you're trying to do that, you're starting to turn that into a thing, which is awesome. There's so many cool things you can bake on the egg.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and like Big Green Craig, like he's always throwing different things on there. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody the other day did a beef Wellington on their egg. And I was just, you know, pastry dough, of course, on the egg, that's going to work. So it's you, and just think about pastry dough in the oven, pastry dough with smoke infused flavor with beef inside. Yes. And mushrooms rolled in there. Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it sounds way better.
Yeah, absolutely.
My thing that I want to do is I haven't done it and I haven't made the dough yet and I want to make the dough for my bread and put it on there. I do biscuits in there all the time mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but I feel like the bread itself will pick up so much of that
yeah.
flame flavor and that yeah. smoke flavor that it's just going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't do French baguettes in the oven anymore. All my French baguettes, because I do homemade dough for my baguettes, and they all go on the egg. And the first time that I did it, and then just crack through that crusty bread. You got the secret to French baguettes on the egg or on any grill, really. You can just do indirect heat on any grill.
Of course.
Is just spritz it with water a few times throughout the cook, and that's what creates that really crunchy crust on the edges. And then you just, when it's done, you just crack it open, and the steam just emits itself from the center and the soft dough, but it's crunchy. And I mean, you don't even need butter when you have that smoke flavor on there. It's just like, yeah, it's insane. So definitely recommend grill your meat, grill your bread, grill your vegetables, grill anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I grill everything.
Yeah. When people are like, oh, my stove doesn't work. I was like, do you have a grill?
Yeah.
Can you go buy a $20 kettle? I mean, there you go.
Does it matter? Like,
yeah.
People, that's the funny thing where, I don't remember the last time I used my oven. It's a great mm-hmm. storage unit.
Right. I don't use my oven or my dishwasher. I wash all my dishes by hand. I don't use the oven. I take that back. Sometimes I do bake my bacon in the oven. That's probably the only thing my oven gets used for. Otherwise, it's, yeah, I use my stovetop every now and then. But I honestly just would rather put my cast iron pot and skillets right on my grill and do it that way, too. Because I just like to be outside. It's something, too, about just being outdoors and listening to the birds chirp or the dogs run around, fresh air.
And just enjoy that time. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally agree with you. It's one of those things where, I think as you get a little bit older too, mm-hmm. You just,
are you calling me old?
No.
Just joking.
That's the best one. The girls can grow, but I guess you call her old. Yep. Fantastic. That's what I did. But I'm saying like, as you get a little bit older, you don't want to make everything in a microwave or do it in 30 seconds. I said something to my wife the other day. I'm like, that's cause she said something about something. And I'm like, yeah, well that's cause nobody comes over to microwave.
Right. I think it was Charbroil posted something on Instagram. It was like, you don't see Instagram posts of, look what I microwaved today.
Right? Like, I made instant mac and cheese.
Woohoo! Yeah. It works to reheat leftover brisket, but that's about it.
You know what? That is, that's so true. And I talked to a couple different people, and I've talked to even a couple people on the podcast. I find that, like, my barbecue tastes, I feel like it tastes better later for me.
Mm-hmm,
like the
yeah.
day of, I'm like, oh, this was okay. Yeah, it's okay. And then I like hold it and I like that kind of like comes through and infuses. really nicely, and then I feel like I get a better flavor.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like it's
3 days later.
Yeah, or like lasagna. Like it just absorbs it all and just really, yeah, especially if you throw it in some Tupperware and it seals in there, it's just like swimming around and that steam that might be left in there and yeah, really good.
Yeah.
I love grilling and barbecue for sure.
It's kind of weird how that works.
It's science.
Is it? Is it really? No. Yeah. No. I mean, it is science, but...
I didn't do so well in science in school. They didn't teach us a barbecue in science class.
They didn't
then I would have paid attention.
They didn't teach me anything I needed to know. They didn't teach me how to light a fire. They didn't teach me how to cook on it.
Right.
Don't need any of that.
I took home ec, though. I did learn to make a mean lemon meringue pie in home ec and how to sew a sweatshirt.
I was going to say.
I don't even know if they do home ec anymore.
I didn't have home ec in my school. It was weird.
See, I am like, aging myself.
No, like, my buddy did, but I
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah?
Like, our school district didn't have home ec.
Wow.
It was weird.
I don't think we had shop. I don't think we had that class, but.
We didn't have shop either. I think that's just the 70s.
Right? I'm not that old.
They're like, all the stoners need a shop. And if you are a stoner listening to my show and you took shop, don't get offended because clearly you did exactly what I talked about.
Thanks for listening.
Exactly.
Because those who went to shop would know how to build a nice table to set the big green egg in.
Exactly. So, or any other
skill, right?
Or any other cooker that they wanted to.
That's
So what are some of your, what, you know, you've been around for a year, we're doing awesome, you're still cooking. What's some of the next steps for you?
I want to try more things. Definitely keep experimenting. I got to do more lamb. Like we talked about, I'm going to do the rattlesnake.
I got to do lamb too.
Yeah. I want to do more kind of get together camping things like I talked about, like I'm looking at doing with Girl Carnivore and Hey Girl Hey, and kind of do some more of that stuff. I did one last year that was really fun, and kind of just, you know, I work full time, so it's hard to escape too much, but just go camping and just enjoy the food. That's what it's really all about. You know, it's fun to do the pictures and to share all that, but just to sit around a campfire or sit around a grill with people and just really respect the food, respect the craft. Keep doing more of that and sharing my message and you know, getting more people excited about grilling, whether you're a girl or a guy, just getting more people into this barbecue family is really my goals for the year.
Those sound like some fun goals.
Yeah.
They sound like they're doable.
I think
which
so.
Which is always great. Spreading the great gospel of barbecue.
Right.
Phenomenal.
Amen.
Which is always phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many great, There's so many people doing barbecue out there too, and it's so great. I said this in a past podcast, but I feel like the four like core barbecue places are starting to spread out in the sense that, you know, before it was, oh, do you like Texas barbecue? Do you like Kansas City barbecue, Carolinas, or Tennessee?
Right.
You know, Memphis style. And mm-hmm. now it's like, well, there's California barbecue. There's West Coast barbecue. There's people doing barbecue in Utah. There's people doing barbecue in New York. There's people doing barbecue in Florida.
Right.
Like,
and then there's the whole international side of it. I mean, like, I have a lot of people following me from Brazil, and then there's the Korean barbecue, and then the Australians. And, yeah, it's like, and Germans, you know, I did a Spießbraten a few months ago, and I went to Germany, and in this small town called Idar-Oberstein, they have this dish that's called Spießbraten. And I just, it's one of those things that you, like, dream about. It was so good. And they cook it over this open fire, and they raise and lower the rack, and it's pork that's rolled up with all these flavors, and... I was like, you know what? I'm going to find it. I'm going to try it. And I Googled the recipe in German because I find if you want real, authentic international recipes.
Oh, did we lose you? So if you want real, authentic recipes, we lost her for a minute. But yeah,
yeah.
Go in the real route.
Right, the international route. Google it in their language. Like, go to Google Translate and translate whatever you're thinking into their language, and then Google it, and then retranslate the recipe back to English. And then you can find the real authentic ways that they brine something or wrap something or cook something. And so when I made my Spießbraten over my rotisserie, it brought me back to Germany. And so I love finding all those different international ways to do things, too.
That is a cool – that's definitely a great tip. That's a cool way to do it. I never even thought about it that way because it – yeah, that's a great way.
Because if you Google it in English, you're going to find another American who's tried to create the recipe. And it's, they might have found it or they might not have. It might be good. It might not be. But if you really want to know what, you know, they do in the woods of Germany in this little town, then Google it in German and you're going to find it. And their secret to Spießbraten was that you marinate it smothered in onions, just covered in onions with different spices overnight. And those onions, they just, you know, insert themselves into the flavor of the meat. And then you just get rid of the onions and then roll it all up. And that was the secret that I wasn't going to be able to find otherwise.
Well, that's, you are a wise lady behind your
Wow. Thank you.
No, I would never think of Googling something in its own language and then translating it. But that does totally make sense because it's then you're getting the authentic, like you're getting the exact recipe.
Right.
You're not getting a third party saying, oh no, do it this way.
Right. It's like if you want real Chinese food, Google it in Chinese. Don't look Google in English or you're going to get Panda Express. I mean, you know.
Or you're not going to get real Chinese food.
Right.
That's so true. Oh, my God. That's so funny. That is so funny. I want to say thank you so much for coming on our show again.
Thank you. Anytime.
We had a great time. We'll keep chatting it up. Let us know if that trip happens.
Absolutely.
The Girls of Barbecue trip.
You bet.
That sounds like an awesome thing. I bet you guys will have a ton of fun.
We might cook rattlesnake.
I was going to say, I can only imagine the food that will be cooked. That's just going to be ridiculous. Just put some in a bag and just send it to me.
Okay, you got it. At $53 a pound, I don't know.
Yeah, right? But, you know, it'll be awesome. You guys will have a great time. So, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. And tell the entire world, once again, not the entire world, because I don't have that big of an audience. I'm not going to lie to you. But tell the people, if they haven't heard of you, where they can find you.
You can find me at girlscangrill.com and on every social media network at girlscangrill.
Fantastic, guys. Go find her. If you're looking for cool, you know, kind of like how to do things, different tips, great recipes and all that, she's your gal. So go there. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mikey. Take care.